Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone, everywhere. God bless you. So glad that you could tune in this morning. If this looks unfamiliar for Sunday morning, it's because I am at home. I'm at home today. I've given the staff the week off, and I wanted to share this word with you today, right from the comforts of my own home, as you are in yours. And so I got my cup of coffee, and I pray that you have yours as well. And I want to have a conversation with you about the DNA of creation. And I'm going to be coming from Luke's gospel, the first chapter of Luke's gospel, the first chapter. And I cannot wait to share what I believe is a very incredible and vital and vibrant narrative about creation and about God's covenant harmony and his intent and his purpose in the earth. And we can find that embedded right in Luke's gospel, right in the description of Mary becoming impregnated with Christ. And so in Luke 1, verse 26 is where we're going to start from. And if you're joining in, tag somebody, do a watch party, let somebody know that you're watching, and share this word with somebody because they need to hear it. Because what I'm talking about is redemption. What I'm talking about is regeneration. What I'm talking about is the reordering of things in your life and the power that you carry already to be able to do that, because it is the gift given to us by God. And as we are in the seasons of gift givings, Christ is the greatest gift that we can ever receive. And so I want to share this word with you and do it in a way of conversation that is not typical of what you would see me doing on a Sunday morning, standing up preaching from the platform or from the podium, but right here sitting with you with a cup of coffee, talking about the DNA of creation. Before I jump in, I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of the staff, all of the volunteers, everybody who has jumped in, pitched in, and made it possible for us to continue to preach the word of God during the pandemic. You guys have been invaluable to us. And so I'm so grateful to you and for all of your efforts and for your many sacrifices to come to the facility, to set up equipment, to do all that you do. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week and have a blessed, blessed Christmas. Luke's gospel, the first chapter, verse 26 is where we are. And I want to share this word with you. The Bible says, now in the sixth month, The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married, to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the Bible says, and he came to her and said, "Hail, you're favored and endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed and highly favored are you before all women." But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he had said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a great meeting might mean, such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found grace." I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible, and I think this is very powerful. He says, "You have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God." I want to read that one more time. "You have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, this is the part I want you to focus on as you're drinking your coffee or sipping your tea. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man, since I know no man?" I have no intimacy with any man as a husband. Then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I want to read that one more time. And so that I'm giving you a few nuggets here. I'm giving you a few breadcrumbs to where I'm going. He says, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy thing which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. And your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is now the 6 months with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Wow. Wow. What a word from the Lord this morning. For the next few moments we have together in our conversation with our coffee or our tea or whatever hot drink you have, I want to talk with you about the DNA of creation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person that's watching right now, every individual who will ever see this, every person who is afraid and terrified and fearful of what is to come, every individual who's been standing in faith, believing, thriving, and knowing that all things are possible with you. Father, touch us all, wherever we are, whatever corner of the world we reside, touch us all. Let us hear this word today. As the word come forth, let it change us and cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Transform us by the renewing of your mind. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive this word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Do all of this by your power, and we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is a very powerful passage of scripture. And the reason why I call it the DNA of creation is because DNA, as we understand it, is the complex molecule that contains all of the information necessary to build and to maintain an organism. All living things have DNA within their cells. It is the code by which life exists. And when I begin to think about this scripture, when I can begin to think about this text, I have to think about it in the context of God's covenant harmony, of what God has been wanting to do from the very beginning. And when I say the very beginning, I'm talking about the beginning of where scripture starts. Because when we open our Bible in the book of Genesis, we read, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And to understand that God did not begin in the beginning is important because he stands apart from that process. God is. He is. He that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. God is. He is self-existing. And so he did not begin when the beginning began. But when we read the book of Genesis, we really read about the destruction of what he created and the reordering of creation. And as we begin to read the reordering of creation within that 7-day period, 7 days, meaning in terms of how it is articulated in scripture in the evening and the morning of the first day. But as you break the week apart, as you break the creation narrative apart in the book of Genesis, you see that God created 3 dominions and then filled those dominions or filled those things over the course of the rest of the week. And so he made the heavens, and then he made the seas, and then the earth. And he put everything back where it was supposed to be, and then filled all those things. And on the 6th day of creation, he made man in his image and after his likeness, and told them to have dominion over the earth. And God breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. I want you to get that. And the reason I want you to get that is because within us is the very DNA of divinity. David said he made us a little lower than the angels. Within you and I right now is divine DNA. Wherever you are, wherever you sit, whoever you are, however you're feeling, regardless of the mental battle that you're having right now, regardless of the physical ailments, regardless of the financial issues or circumstances you might find yourself in, you have God DNA on the inside of you. The very thing, the very capability and power to recreate, to reorder, to be regenerated, to be regened. And here in this particular story, what we're finding is something very notable, something very powerful, that all of creation has Christ in it. For the Bible says that all things were made by him. And so all of creation has Christ on the inside of it. That's a powerful, powerful thing. I think that's an amazing thing. And as we begin to understand that, we also begin to understand that God harmoniously connects the dots throughout Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. I apologize. And the New Testament is the Old Testament connected, but yet revealed. And so God is revealing something to us within the context of Scripture, right in the birth of Christ, right in the conception before his birth. And I think it's important for us to take note of this conception and how it happens and who it happens to in particularly, because as we begin to see and to begin to understand that God himself, the God self, he's trying to be visible and he's trying to be shareable with all of the world. And this is why John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then fast forward down and says, we beheld him as the only begotten Son of the Father. And so God is telling us in this context of Scripture that it's okay to be human. That the very fact that he wants to come into the world, into the earth, in physical form, and wrap himself in flesh, he's saying to us, it's okay to be human. And before I take another step further, before I jump deeper into this word, before I even touch my first point, I want to tell you, it's okay to be human. This year has been difficult, and it has been trying, and it has been tough, right? And it's been all the things that we feared. But I want you to know that you're standing right here, right now, on December 20th, and you're still here. So it's okay to be human. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be terrified. It's okay to cry if you have to. But whatever you do, as long as you got breath in your body, know that all things are still possible. It is still possible for your life to be reordered. It is still possible for you to be redeemed. It is still possible for you to be restored. It is still possible for you to recover all. It is still possible, because with God, all things are possible. And so as we jump into this story, as we jump into this narrative, Scripture is bearing out for us the possibility. God is writing it in his history because, in essence, all Scripture is prophecy. All Scripture is prophetic. I don't have time to drill down on that as much as I would like to, but you have to understand that as you go through all of the books of the Bible, as you go through the Pentateuch, the first five books, and as you go through the wisdom books and go through the prophetic books, and as you go through all of the Word of God, all Scripture is prophecy. All Scripture is prophecy. And so God, in prophetic context, is telling us he's bringing something to pass. He's He's expanding something. And the thing that he's expanding is the word that he spoke over creation when he said, let there be light. And so the universe in and of itself is still expanding over time. It's not collapsing, it's growing. And when you have protracted seasons of darkness and difficulty, it's hard to feel or think or believe that things are expanding because you feel like everything is contracting around you. And so right here, Luke lets us know, after telling us about Elizabeth, which I'll touch a little bit later, that Mary is being chosen to carry something. It gives us a description of where she's from, and not so much who she is, but where she's from. And as he entails that, as he brings that out, as he unveils all of that, he is telling us that creation in some way has to be carried. He's telling us that God is always looking for somebody to carry what he wants to manifest in the earth. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking someone whose heart is toward him for the sole purpose of showing up strong through that individual. 2 Chronicles 16:9. God is looking for somebody to carry what he wants to manifest in the earth, to carry creation. As a matter of fact, Paul comes along and tells us that all of creation is in groaning and travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God is looking for somebody to carry what he wants to produce in the earth. And it is at Christmas time that all we think about sometimes in our Western ideology and philosophies is the birth of Jesus, of his coming. But there's so much more revealed to just his coming. It's about preparing us to carry what's coming. That's what Christmas is really about, for us to be ready to carry what's coming, to prepare ourselves for the Christ to come. In personal form, contracted and visible. And that's the power that Mary's story offers to us. Because when we look at Mary, the Bible says she's from a little town that's on the outskirts of nowhere. she is in Galilee, in Nazareth. And she is of no real reputation. There's nothing perfect about her other than the fact that she's virgin enough. I'm going somewhere with this thing. Stay with me. We're having conversation. I'm trying not to get too happy and excited as I'm talking to you about it. She's virgin enough. The Bible says that she is espoused to a man to be married. She's virgin and engaged to a man to be married whose name was Joseph. Joseph has the name and the lineage tied to David. Mary does not. And Mary has nothing really perfect about her, or no persona or profound image that she offers to us, other than the fact that she is willing to receive this gift that God wants to give her and carry it. My question to you is, are you virgin enough to carry what God wants to produce? And by virgin, I'm not talking about the sexual practice. Yes, she was physically a virgin, but I'm talking about a deeper implication. Can you be empty enough to carry what God wants to manifest in the earth? How many things are you carrying around that take precedent, that takes priority over what God wants to conceive? And Mary is teaching us some very fundamental, powerful principles in the very fact that she comes from nowhere. There's nothing about her that the Bible says that she was upright or she was perfect or she was just. Job was an upright man, and we know what happened, what he went through. But Mary doesn't have that description. She doesn't bear that moniker. She's just a girl from Nazareth, nowhere. When Jesus was born, they asked him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is where she is. She's nowhere. And I know I'm talking to somebody today that feels like they are nowhere. As a matter of fact, many of us are nowhere between two somewheres, somewhere between two nowheres. You can't quite put a pin on where you are emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And you're doing all that you can do to stand, and you're doing all that you can do to believe. But the reality is that you're nowhere. That's the reality. And that's the power of this story. And that's the power of the Genesis narrative as well. That God doesn't use reality as an enemy, he uses it as a canvas. As a matter of fact, the gospel in and of itself is not about idealism. It's not about this perfect world. It's about realism, that God would break forth into the reality of whatever is, whether it's darkness upon the face of the deep, whether it's a young girl that's from a city called Nowhere, Nazareth, out on the outskirts of town where people think that nothing good can come out of, God says, I'll break into that reality and still do something that everybody feels like it's impossible. God is about to break into your reality, and you do not have to hide from whatever that reality is. You don't have to run from whatever that reality is. You don't even have to cover it up, because God shows you right in scripture, from the very beginning of the Bible, that darkness is a canvas, that the chaos is a canvas, and that he can still create from chaotic things. Because the DNA of creation doesn't require things to be perfect. It simply requires things to be available. Are you available? Not are you perfect, but are you available for God to do something in you that he wants to manifest in the earth? And this year has given us a lot of things to carry around and to be preoccupied with worry, preoccupied with trouble, preoccupied with anxiety, preoccupied with your worst fears, preoccupied with how things are going to turn out. Are you available right now? If God wanted to put something in you that had the power to change the world, are you available right now? And this is what Mary is showing us. So the angel comes to her, and when the angel comes to her, he says these words, Hail Mary. Oh, God. He says, Hail Mary, favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all women. And the Bible says, when she saw him, she was greatly troubled. Now, this is powerful. She was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused. She was greatly troubled, disturbed, and confused. Why? Because she's trying to figure out, is he talking to me? Is he talking? Is what? I come from nowhere. I don't have those credentials. I don't have that pedigree. That's not my background. Favored. I'm just trying to make it. I'm just happy to be engaged to Joseph. Favored. What? Graced. She doesn't even recognize what's on her. Can I tell you that you are living in a year where you don't even recognize what's on you? That the grace of God has been resting upon you all year? That the favor of God has been protecting you like a shield? Psalms 5:12 says, "For the Lord will bless the righteous, and with his favor he shall surround them like a shield." Lord have mercy. He said, "Hail Mary, O favorite one, you have found favor." You don't hear what I'm saying. She had it all along, but now she's just discovering it in this moment, that favor was always with you. Favor has always been with you. Grace has always been with you. Yeah, it's why you're still here. It's why you're still making it. And it lasts. It goes from time to time, from your very conception to where you are right now. It's still with you. It's still on you. And she finds this favor, but she's troubled not by the fact that she's favored. She's troubled by the greeting. And she was trying to figure out, what type of greeting is this? I've never been greeted like this before. I've never been talked to like this before. And so the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found grace." And this is why I love the Amplified Bible. You have found grace. And the Amplified Bible describes it as this: free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. Oh, Lord have mercy. Free, spontaneous, and absolute loving kindness and favor with God. That's powerful right there. Mary is about to carry the DNA of creation because she knew how to receive spiritual gifts. She knew how to let fruitfulness break into the world. So we got a lot to learn from her. And the first thing that we need to learn from her, my first point, is that you cannot maneuver nor manipulate what God gives you. It's spontaneous and it's free. It's spontaneous and it's free. Oh God, I wish you would catch that right there. I pray somebody catches this right here. It is free and it is spontaneous. It can happen anytime. Stop talking yourself out of what God is about to give you to carry. Stop trying to convince yourself that it's too big. Stop trying to convince yourself that you don't come from that background. Stop trying to convince yourself that you don't have the capacity to carry it. Because a created thing cannot determine its own capacity. Only the creator of the thing can determine how much capacity it has. You, my friend, my brother and sister, don't know your own capacity. Only your creator does. This is why the Bible says that he'll never place on you more that you can bear. We use that in the negative connotation, but there's a positive aspect to it too. God will never give you more than your capacity. Oh, glory to God. We can see this embedded within the parable of the talents. To one, he gave one talent, to another three, to another five. It's according to capacity. But grace comes into play here in the story to teach us that we cannot manipulate what God wants to give us. We cannot maneuver into what God wants to give us. It's free. It's spontaneous. It's free and it's spontaneous. It's free and it's spontaneous. Stop trying to measure your capacity. You don't know where God's about to take you into this next season. You don't know what God's about to do in your life. You don't know what you are about to produce. You've got an inkling of it. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. But your mind is trying to tell you. Your emotions are trying to dictate. Because emotions are just data. They're not directives. But you're trying to take directives from all of them. And they're trying to tell you, you're not enough, that you don't measure up. You cannot determine your own capacity. Only the Creator can determine your capacity. Only the Creator can determine your potential. I want you to get that down into your spirit. You cannot maneuver. You cannot manipulate. You cannot maneuver, you cannot manipulate what God is about to give you to manifest in the world. The true capacity, I want to slow down for a second and give you this. The true capacity, okay, of any product, of anything created, cannot be determined by the user. It can only be determined by the manufacturer. Lord have mercy. This applies to your life. God created you like he did everything else with the capacity to fulfill something. When he thought up what he needed in the earth, he thought of a person. That's you. And so you are capable of attaining the total aptitude given to you by God to fulfill your purpose in this world. And I want you to get this, because your true capacity is not limited, reduced, or altered by anybody else's opinion, including your own. Nor can it be altered by your previous experiences. That's why Mary was troubled by the greeting. Are you talking to me? Are you serious? Which then tells you that God deals with her capacity before he deals with the comparison to come down the road. Because whenever God is about to give you something to carry, the first thing we like to do is compare ourselves to what somebody else is carrying. Oh, God. Which is why he informs her that Elizabeth is also pregnant and 6 months ahead of you. When God gives you something to carry that is going to be manifested in the earth, do not fall into the trap of comparison. You ought to rejoice that somebody is a little bit further ahead of you so they can tell you what's normal, so they can tell you how it feels, so they can tell you what it looks like, so they can tell you what the journey is all about. So God always puts somebody ahead of you that's also carrying something that's going to be the forerunner to what you're going to produce. Oh God, I'm talking to somebody right now. We have got to stop tearing down one another because we're all carrying something that is significant for the kingdom of God. And Mary is learning this lesson vitally right in front of us. And so we learn that we cannot maneuver, we cannot manipulate what God wants to bring forth in the earth, because it's freely given. It's freely giving, but it requires that we gradually empty our attachment to our separate self, to our self-serving inclinations. Because to attach anything to self will not leave any room for new conception or new birth. This is important, which is why Jesus in and of himself coming into the earth was not an escape plan. It wasn't for us to exit the earth. That's self-serving. But for us to live in the reality of whatever is and still say, the Lord our God, he is good. Yeah. And so you can't manipulate. You cannot maneuver around what God wants to give you. And so you have to make room. Second point, you have to make room for new conception and new birth. Which brings me to this. There can be no replacement without displacement first. Whenever God wants to bring something through your life, whenever he wants to manifest something in the earth through you, displacement comes first. You're going to be moved from where you are. This is why the Bible tells us that she was espoused, she was engaged to Joseph. Engagement is two parts in Jewish culture. There's the legal contract, the legally binding contract that we are going to get married, which lasts for a year. And then after the year, there's a wedding, which is the second part. This is prior to the wedding. So she is impregnated before her wedding. She is displaced completely, which is why the angel has to come and talk to Joseph. That's a whole nother preach. But she's completely displaced. She's completely displaced, and there's no mention of her morality. There's no mention of her achievement. There's no mention of her preparedness for any of it. She just humbly trusts and surrenders. Be it unto me according to your word. She asks the vital question. She says, how can this thing be? She asks a very important question. She says, how can this thing be? Seeing that I know not a man, I haven't been intimate with anybody. She's asking not out of the trepidation of the possibility of it happening. She's asking in wisdom. She's saying, how are you going to do it? She's not saying you can't do it. That's very important. She's emptying herself out as the angel is telling her that this is what's happening to you, and this is what's coming, and you're going to have this son, and his name's going to be called Jesus, and he's going to be great, and this is God's plan. God is revealing the details of his plan, and it's in the details that she realizes she's going to get displaced. There can be no replacement without displacement. You're going to have to be displaced first. This whole year was about being displaced, being put out of what is comfortable, being put out of what is normal, being put out of what you've come to know as your everyday. And now all of a sudden, we're all displaced. There can be no replacement without displacement. So you got to make room for what God wants you to carry. And Mary is making room by asking God, how can this thing be? How is it possible that you're going to do it? She couldn't prepare for it. She couldn't get ready for it. She just had to know, how are you going to do it? And he says, the Holy Spirit, Lord have mercy, shall come upon you. And that's not all. Then I shall overshadow you. I'm going to cover you from the inside and from the outside. When you make room for what God wants to do, he covers you from the inside and he covers you from the outside. You're going to be displaced, but that displacement is not going to devour you. You got to make room. And if you're carrying your own idea, if you're carrying your own preference over his purpose, then you're never going to make room. You have to make room because the material and the spiritual It's about to coincide. Human and divine. She's carrying both the DNA of creation. It's what she's carrying. And she's trying to make room for it. And so she says, how can it be? She's looking for wisdom. How are you going to do it, God? You ought to sit back right now with your cup of coffee or your tea or whatever you're sipping on or wherever you're situated and say, God, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And God's response is going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters before I spoke. God is giving her a peek, a sneak peek into his plan. He's giving her the details. And it is often that God will give you a destination without any details. But he gives her the details in this instance because he needs her to know what the journey is about to be. You're going to be displaced. And she accepts it. She says, be it unto me as you have said it. Be it unto me according to your word. You ought to sit back and say, God, how are you going to do it? And after a few seconds of him saying the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and I'm going to overshadow you. I'm going to protect you from the inside and from the outside. I'm going to come upon you to be able to do something that otherwise you weren't capable of doing. It's going to be not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit. And when it all happens, you should sit back and say, be it unto me according to your word. What is about to be produced in your life, what's about to be manifested in the earth, can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We cannot do it on our own. But with God, all things are possible. Glory to God. And so you can't maneuver, you can't manipulate what God wants to produce, but you got to make room for it. You got to make room for it. And if you can make room for it, God can manifest it. If you can make room for what God wants to produce, he can bring it to pass. He can bring it into the earth realm. He can do it. And the reason why she knows he can do it is because he tells her about Elizabeth. Lord have mercy. And when he tells her about Elizabeth, he says, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, has also conceived a son. The reason why you ought to shout about this is because he's telling Mary, I already manifested it. I already did it. God goes ahead of you to make the crooked place straight. And he's telling Mary, what you are about to conceive, I've already done. You ought to shout, he's already done it. You ought to put right in the comments, he's already done it. And he's got a model. He's got somebody in the earth that is already testifying of his goodness. And that's what he tells Mary. Elizabeth in her old age has already conceived a son, not will conceive, it's already done. And this is now the sixth month with her who has been called barren. It was already done, and she was already in her sixth month. 6 months ahead of Mary. And then he reminds her, for with me nothing is impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible fulfillment. No word from God shall be without power, because the word is the DNA of creation. And as you sit back and begin to speak the word over the remainder of this year and what's to come in 2021, I need you to know you have the power right within your mouth to speak life over everything that concerns you and everything that God wants to produce. And if you would empty yourself and allow yourself to get full of what God wants to produce in the earth, you can see it manifest. And there will be a little displacement. There will be some discomfort. There will be the scandal and the naysayers and the critics and the onlookers saying, girl, do you know she's pregnant? Oh my, I can't believe You're always going to have those people. But God is all up in the scandal. He's all up in it. He orchestrated it. He instigated it. He instituted it. And Mary was able to handle it all. And the Bible says that when Mary received it all and started her journey of manifestation, she went into a little hill country of a town called Judah. Can I preach this thing to you? And when she got to the town of Judah, when she left her nowhere and got to the town of Judah, when she left her nowhere and got to the town of Judah, when she left her nowhere and got to the town of Judah, Judah always represents praise. You're leaving nowhere and you're going to end up in a place of praise. You're leaving nothing and you're going to end up in a place of praise. You're leaving scandal and you're going to end up in a place of praise. You're leaving obscurity and you're going to end up in a place of praise. You're leaving negativity and you're going to end up in a place of praise. You're leaving anxiety and you're going to end up in a place of praise. She comes to Judah. And when she comes to Judah, she goes into the house of Zechariah and she enters and she salutes Elizabeth. And it occurred that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, that the baby leaped in her womb. I feel like preaching this thing. And Elizabeth was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. My God, what you're carrying brings life to what other people are carrying, even if they are further along than you are. Did you get that? And so take up your journey of manifestation because you're carrying the DNA of creation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And during this Christmas season, as you're spending time with your family, take nothing for granted. The time you get with your kids, the moments of silence at home. Don't make it drab. I know you feel isolated. I know you might feel like you're in solitary confinement, but you're carrying something. You're carrying something. You're carrying something that the earth needs to see. And God has given us this gift of time to come back to a place of understanding what's important and what's relevant. And that is ultimately his purpose of what he wants to have done in the earth. God uses people. And he uses them to house what he wants to produce. But while we are housing what he wants to create, he's holding us together. Oh, glory to God. He's holding us together. I want you to step into this new year and make somebody else's baby leap. I want God to fill you with ideas and dreams and concepts that you'll take them on and birth life and birth anointing. That's a great gift. Mary knew how to receive a gift. And I pray you and I understand how to do it too. Next week, I'm going to teach you how to receive the gift. I pray this word blessed you. I pray you enjoyed it. I didn't even really get to sip my coffee. I had it here. It was full. It was actually full. I didn't get to sip it because I got to talking and preaching. I enjoyed this conversation with you, and I pray that you understand that you're carrying the gift of God, the DNA of creation right on the inside of you. The word of the living God resides in you. Speak life over everything, your kids, your family, your dreams, your hopes, everything that concerns you. Speak life over your community. Speak life over our country and over this world. Let's produce what God wants to create. Would you consider being a blessing to us and sow a financial gift into this ministry? You can give right now on your phone. All you need to do is text GiveKLC to 73256. and your gift will go a long way. We've been feeding families all year long. We've been clothing the naked. You've been taking care of those in need. That's the bulk of what we've done this year, and we've done it faithfully. I want to continue to do that. There are going to be so many people still in need. This pandemic is not over, and we want to help as much as we possibly can. So text your gift to GiveKLC to 73256, or you can go right to our website and click the giving icon. You can download the church app and give on that platform as well. However you do it as unto the Lord. Let's all be gifts this year, as God was a gift to us. He given us the greatest gift, his only begotten Son. I pray that this message touch your life. Now I pray that God bless you and keep you, that his face shine upon you, that God be gracious unto you and give you peace, that he surround you with his favor like a shield, that his angels encamp themselves round about you, and that his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless you. I love you all. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you soon. We have a special New Year's, virtual New Year's service just for you. God bless you. We'll be in touch.